Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for Maundy Thursday comes from our gospel reading of Luke. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it." And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." In the name of Jesus. The disciples had all done this all before, had celebrated the Passover like any good Jew would have since their childhood. Lambs had been sacrificed and the Seder meal had been prepared. The old ritual had been followed and the remembrance of the very first Passover feast had been remembered. They had done this without Jesus. They had certainly done this with Jesus. For 3 years they'd followed him, which means that they had celebrated the Passover with him at least twice before this evening. When they woke that Thursday morning, nothing new seemed to be afoot. It was an important day, to be sure, but seemingly no more important than any other Passover they had ever experienced. And so two of them are sent to prepare. Same old Passover, just a different day. But they're told to go and find a man carrying a jar of water. "Follow that man," they're told, "and tell the master of the house that the teacher wants to celebrate the Passover meal in his guest room." Strange, I suppose, for they were not of this man's house, and the Passover was to be celebrated with family. But Jesus had done strange things before. Surely this was just one more to be added to the number. Not much is told about the preparation after that. Luke just skips ahead to the important part. You would think that that would include the going to the temple, the sacrificing of the Passover lamb, but there's no mention of the lamb in our text for this evening. Not explicitly, at least, but don't worry, the lamb is most certainly there. And so, at the Passover, Passover things are done, just like they'd always been done. The feast was a long ceremony with many courses and at least 4 different cups of wine. All of them had their importance, but most of them are left out of our account for this evening. The focus is on something more, something greater, something better to be fulfilled. Jesus, he says twice, that he'll neither sup nor drink again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Strange words once again, and surely his disciples didn't fully understand what Jesus was saying. How was he not going to eat or drink again? Or did he only mean that he wasn't going to celebrate another Passover feast? Surely Jesus knew something that the disciples didn't, but again, that's nothing new. He was looking forward in time to that time without end, to the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb, the heavenly banquet after the last day resurrection. And so while Jesus was saying that this was going to be his final Passover, he was also saying that this was going to be a never-ending one. And I would like to say that the disciples took it all in stride, and maybe they did, but the Gospels tell us that it isn't until after Easter when their eyes are fully opened to the mysterious mysteries that Jesus is mystifying before them. Like I said, Luke doesn't record much of that old covenant Passover meal for us. There's probably good reason for this. For the old covenant Passover meal had come to its glorious end. It had an expiration date that was set upon it as soon as it was instituted, way back in Exodus, even if it wasn't explicitly stated. But it certainly was inferred and implied by prophets like Isaiah, and by the fact that there were times such as the desert wandering years, the Babylonian captivity, in which the Passover had to go on hiatus. What Luke does record for us are the new things that Jesus said and the new things that Jesus did during that final Passover. Which is why when Jesus was reclining at table with his disciples, he said that he earnestly desired to eat this Passover with them. before he suffers. It wasn't just that Jesus wanted one last meal with his friends, or even he wanted one last Passover with his disciples, but he wanted this one. For in this Passover, something new was taking place. Something that was long foretold and was longing to be finally fulfilled. The Passover lamb, the one who takes away the sin of the world, the one who only 4 days earlier had been set apart as the lamb without blemish at the triumphal entry, spoke a new word into and over this old Passover feast. He took bread, the bread that had always been there, for every single Passover feast, and he gave thanks, something that he always did when dining with his disciples or feeding the 5,000. And so nothing new or strange was there until the lamb said, "This is my body, which is given for you." Forget about the Passover mutton that they had just eaten. That was of no accord any longer. But here, in this bread, with this bread, under this bread, in every way that allows the mystery of is to mean is without trying to explain the unexplainable, is the flesh of the Passover lamb. And it's given for you. The objective you and the subjective you, the communal you and the individual you. This bread is Christ for you. "Do this," the Passover lamb says, "in remembrance of me." The old Passover supper may have found its joyful end, but the new Lord's Supper had only just begun. Every day, the fulfillment of the Passover is celebrated in the Lord's Supper. You proclaim Christ's death until he comes. It's a public proclamation of the slain Paschal Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world on that sacrificial tree. While at the very same time, it's the subjective reception of the wedding feast of the Lamb, which has no end. We remember by receiving through faith the gifts of the cross in strange things like bread, which in no way can be the body of Christ, except that Christ has said that it is. But more important than our remembrance is God's remembrance. God remembers you for Christ's sake. God remembers that the Passover lamb has already been sacrificed. God remembers that when you eat Christ's body, you are made to be one with Christ. You are made to be his body. And God cannot turn his back or forget about the mystical body of his Son, the church of which you are a part, because he has already turned his back. He's already forsaken Christ's temporal body on the cross. That body was one of sacrifice and one that bore the sins of the world. This body that you eat is the very same body that is your Paschal sacrifice. And this body, the church, is therefore the body that will not die and cannot ever be forsaken, but will be remembered by God for Christ's sake, world without end. And then likewise, Jesus, he took the cup after supper, same cup that's always been there. And he said, "This cup is poured out for you in the new covenant in my blood." Old covenant, Mount Sinai covenant, when Moses sprinkled, or better said, doused the people with blood, now fulfilled with the shedding of blood of the Passover lamb, which every other Passover lamb bleated forward to. Old sacrifices now complete in the new and last and final one. Old temple now brought crumbling down to its end as the new temple is placed in the tomb, only to be raised 3 days later. And all of that is given in the blood of Christ. It's found at this very altar. And it is yours to drink, yours to receive. Drink of it, all of you. And as you do, receive Jesus' life blood for you, the suffering and death of the new Passover lamb, is the atoning sacrifice for all of your sin. Blood already poured out on the cross and offered to God on your behalf. Blood that makes you one with Christ and one with each other. Blood that pours the "it is finished" down your throat, that you might know that God remembers your sin no longer, but instead remembers you for the sake of Christ, your Passover lamb forever. This evening is an all and nothing evening. Just like the very first Passover meal, just like the final Passover meal that Jesus celebrated with his disciples, the all actor is God. It always has been, it always will be. He brings it all to the table, quite literally, and says to you, it's all been accomplished. The work that needed to be done, the law that needed to be fulfilled, the perfection that was required, the Passover lamb that needed to be sacrificed, all of it has been done, and all of it has been done by me, and all of it has been done by me for you. The nothing actor, then, of course, is you. You do nothing except receive, which means you do nothing. Just a hopeless beggar with an empty sack, made to be a saint, full of hope, with a heavenly treasure given to you in time and space. That's why Jesus so earnestly desired to celebrate that Passover feast with his disciples. Because in so doing, he was instituting a new and better Passover feast. A supper that is rightly named the Lord's. For it is his supper, his body, his blood, given and poured out. New covenant of a sacrificed lamb, dead no longer. And it is this supper that he earnestly desires to share with you. For it is in this supper that you receive Christ himself, life and salvation. For where there is forgiveness of sins, where God has passed over you with his wrath to exact it upon his Son, so that he can remember you for the sake of that Passover lamb, there is most assuredly, now and for always, life and salvation. In the name of Jesus.